Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. So good to see all of you this morning. Time flies. We are almost finishing the book of Romans. We come to chapter 13 of the books of Romans. Please excuse me today, this morning, if I keep on referring to Romans chapter 13 as chapter 16. Somehow, I don't know why my mind is still keep stuck in chapter 16. Yeah. So, okay. So, for you who are first time visiting us, and also for those who are joining us first time from the live streaming, we are preaching through the books of Romans. Yeah. So, this morning we'll continue learn from Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 14. The sermon title for this morning, God of Love, God of Nation. I will be using the NIV versions. So please have your Bible ready. I would like to invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. Let us read. Let me read to you. Let everyone be subject to the governing authority. For there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebels against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Verse 6, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other commands there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Verse 11, and do this, understanding the present time, the hours has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armors of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desire of the flesh. This is the word of our Lord. Let us commit this morning, this time, to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, O Lord. Your word is so wonderful. Even as I prepare this message, O Lord, your word has speak so deep into my heart. Father, I also ask this morning, O Lord, that your word will also speak to each one of us here and for those who at home are watching live streaming. Father, may your word rooted in each one of us so that we can live the life that is truly according to your command, that we will truly live the life that is pleasing to you, O Lord. This morning, O Lord, for those who are with a lot of hindrances, hurdle in their life, your word cannot get into them. Father, I ask that you speak specifically to each one of those brother and sister, O Lord, so that, Lord, their life can be transformed as well. Their soul can be quickened to live the life that is pleasing to you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen. Okay. Time is moving so fast. Half years have gone. Now we are already in the month of July. So many things have happened. We have two batch of newborn Christians celebrating with their baptism. We have seen fresh new effort in ministry. We have received exciting report of God's work in different areas of our PBC ministry. We heard of many good testimony, and we also grieve with some of you who experience serious illness. And some experience losses as the loved ones has gone home to be the Lord, to be with our Lord. So now, let us look at what Apostle is trying to say here. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12, understanding the present time, the hour has already come. Because our salvation is nearer now than we first believe. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Time is precious. Time is not going to wait for us. In a very short time, we see so many things has happened. Indeed, we need to count our every day. We are one day further from the day when we first believe. How is our walk with the Lord? Are we walking closer with intimacy with our Lord, or are we walking further away from Him? The day of Christ's return is near. Let us be alert. That is what Paul trying to convey in Romans chapter 13. Paul has been talking about we can live life as Christian, starting in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 9, to 12 to 2. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, brother and sister, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." Christian living starting from total commitment. Chapter 13 is the chapter extended from chapter 12. So Paul is asking us to commit completely to our God. We are to present our body as a sacrifice to God. God is calling for us to give ourselves wholly to Him. We are to offer ourselves to God. We are not to offer some of our lives or some of our body. We are to commit 100% of our lives and body to God. We are called to give ourselves completely to Him. In order to live a Christian living, that is the beginning, to commit ourselves 100% as a living sacrifice to God. We will not follow the pattern of this world because we are the children of God, the citizen of God's kingdom. We are to live according to the teaching of God. Our heart must be transformed and our mind must be renewed by God's word. And that can only happen when we fully surrender ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Only when our heart is transformed and our mind is renewed, we will be able to test and approve what is the will of God. We will understand and agree with what God wants from us, and we will put it into practice. We will discern and know what is the good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. But when we have the worldly mind, when we would try to bend God's will and distort His word to fit what we want to do, we know our heart is not being transformed and our mind is not being renewed. We will not be trying to seek God's will and do it. We will be trying to do what we want, and ultimately we would love the false teaching which twisted God's word to support our selfish way. You see, Paul in Romans chapter 13 continued this theme, teaches us how to walk closer with God with the transformed heart and renewed mind so that we can continue grow in spiritual maturity and eventually to be like Christ our Lord. Now, how to live a Christian life? We can look at Romans chapter 13, verse 1 to 14 in these 3 points. We need to live a Christian life in relation with the government authority. How? Later we will see the further expound on it. Second, in relation with one another, in relation with God. Okay, in the Romans chapter 13, these 3 main focus, how to live your Christian living in relation with government, with one another, and with God. Now, in relation with the government authority, before we look into what Paul commands Christians to do, I would like us to imagine a scenario. What would be like if we live in a place that there is no government? And you imagine, start to imagine that. No law and no order. People can freely break into your house to rob you, harm you, and harm your family. It is not safe to walk on the street. It is not safe to be anywhere. Do you think you would like to live in those situations, in those places? I'm sure most of us don't. Probably all of us won't like to live in that kind of environment. That is why the Bible tells us we must submit because the government is appointed by God. And we must submit because their function is to keep the nation in order. God appointed governing authority over us to keep things in order and to protect us. They are God's appointed servant. Paul wants Christians to clearly understand that we are to submit to the governing authority in the country we live in, because for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authority that exists has been established by God. That is the truth found all through the Bible. We can see that. Whatever process is followed to choose human ruler, like our coming state election, they are ultimately placed in their position by God. Remember that. That includes the bad one as well as the good one. Therefore, to resist the government is to resist God. For those who rebel and resist the governing authority will bring on themselves punishment by the government or by God or both. That is what Paul is trying to say here. That is hard for most of us to swallow, right? Does that include those very bad rulers? Are you sure, Pastor? Now, may I remind you of the government that was in power when Paul wrote this. It was a cruel dictatorship ruled for the benefit of the elite in Rome. Most of the people throughout the empire in Rome live in conquered nation occupied by Rome's troops. 60 million human beings were held in slavery and could be treated in any way their master chose to treat them. In Rome, more than 80% of them are actually slaves. Can you believe that? The emperor themselves were no model of morality and righteousness. And one of the worst of Nero, who is a Caesar in Roman Empire, who ruled even as Paul wrote this word, when fire swept Rome in just a few years later, Nero accused the Christian of starting it, and that led to an outbreak of persecution in which Paul himself was eventually killed. The government Paul was talking about in this passage was oppressive, immoral, and unjust. And yet he said, submit to it because it was appointed by God. You see, most of the rulers would want to maintain law and order and to punish evildoers. Even the worst of the Roman Empire, the ruler did rule the country and provide protection for his people. We may not be happy with everything the government does, but we benefit from the good it does, don't we? Like the police protection, the power supply, water and sewage service to our home, as well as road, school, mail service, relief agency, court, and judge, and so much more. We can understand what Paul is saying. The government, with all its faults, they are God's servant gift to us for good. And if we do what is right, we have nothing to fear. I think we would all agree that the worst government in existence are still better than no government at all. That is why Paul says in verse 5, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authority, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Our conscience must be clear before God, knowing that we submit to the authority because they are appointed by God. We submit to them as we see ourselves, we are obeying God's command. So, we must pay our taxes, give respect and honor to governing authority. Don't talk bad and gossip and criticize them, but pray for them. A lot of us, I always see us gossip, criticize the government. Here, Paul asks us to give respect and honor to the governing authority. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 to 17. Live such a good life among the pagan that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deed and glorify God on the day he visits us. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believer. Fear God. Honor the emperor. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 to 2, I urge then, first of all, that petition, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. You see, it is so important for us Christians to come together to uphold the good governor in our prayer. And always pray for the leaders of our country, either they are good or bad. Surely, in our prayer, we would not agree with ungodly and unrighteous conduct of the governing leaders. We can cry out to God to stop from their oppression. And God will surely hear the cries of his saints. But we must submit, respect, give honor to those in authority. Because regardless their conduct, they are servants of God and God placed them in that position. This morning we're grateful our Deacon Hing Sing gave a very good prayer. Pray for our nation, Malaysia. Pray for the coming state election. Pray for God will appoint a person that will do his work well for us. Now, I know some of you might ask, how about those governing authority that try to make us disobey the teaching of God's word? Well, it is not in the context here. Perhaps we can cover it another time in that. Now, point number two. In relationship with one another. How to live our Christian living in relationship with one another? Love. It is to love. How to love? Love others like you are in debt to them. Surprise? Let us continue to look at it. You see, love involves more than an action shown to one another. Love consists of an underlying attitude and mindset that motivate our action toward others. It is not an attitude reserved only for fellow believers. It is also for everyone who is not part of the community of believers. It is an ongoing theme that Paul continued to talk about in many of his letters. Even our Lord Jesus Christ, in the story that when the Levite asked him, who is my neighbor? And Jesus gave him the story how a Samaritan man take care of a Jewish guy who got robbed and injured. And then Jesus asked him, who is your neighbor? Our neighbor is not just the believer in our same community, but even those who are outside of our community, outside of our faith community. Sometimes we can express love to others as we are more superior than them. We are doing them a favor, right? We show care, we show love, we are more superior than them. Especially in husband and wife relationship, or bosses and employee. Or we love out of our own self-righteousness, that we are so godly. We want to show people we are so godly. Look how I can love, how I keep the commandment of the Bible. Or we can love out of showing off or with our pride. We feel that we are more superior than others. We are so loving. But Paul here tells us to love like we are in debt to all the people around us. If we do that, we are in the humble position. We owe them something. We must pay them back. Of course, here we are not actually talking about you owe everyone something. But we love them like as if we owe them something. We owe the people around us something. We must pay back, actively pay back. Actively go to them, care for them, love them. And that's what Paul is trying to say. Just like our Lord Jesus loved us. He paid for our debt that he did not deserve, as if we are not sin deserve. He paid for us. He died on the cross for us. See, how can we love like that? We can because God first loved us. Jesus dies for us when we were still his enemy. We were destined to the punishment of death. But our Lord Jesus paid our ransom in full. He was crucified on our behalf so that we can walk free from the death of eternal hell. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 to 11, told us, "Dear friend, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin." Dear friend, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. We are in debt to God for his love to us, for his sacrifice on that cross for us, for his mercy and his grace bestowed to us, for adopt us into his family as his children and heir. How can we not love then, when we are filled with love from our Father in heaven? Indeed, we ought to be so grateful to his love so that we want to repay this love to others. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7 told us, "Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres." You see, love is to sacrifice for others. Is to build others up, is not to harm others, is to do what is best for others, like our Lord loved us. In this world, we see many people talk about love. The way they love is one thing to benefit themselves. It's one thing to own another person, dominate another person, be more superior to another person. But here Paul told us, no, we should love with unconditionally, seeing that we are owed to them, we are in debt to them. Very important to know that. John chapter 13, verse 34, our Lord Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Our Lord Jesus gave us a very firm command. You must love one another. Simply put it, if you want to be an obedient Christian, always be so thoughtful of the other person around you. It will totally transform your attitude and the way you approach others and ultimately your relationship with them. You will be patient and kind, like how our Lord Jesus being so patient and kind with us. And you will be gentle and encouraging and gracious when you relate with others because you love them and care for them. Was that not how our Lord Jesus loved for you? Now, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, John told us, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. My dearest brother and sister, are you live in love today? Are you live in God today? God paid a debt he did not owe. We owe it. We deserve eternal condemnation because of our sin. Even one little sin would be enough to separate us from him. But he bore the punishment that we deserve. Let us always look to our Lord Jesus so we know what we owe and pay to the others. And look to him to learn from him how he loved so we know how to love others as he has loved us. When we love like this, we will be like Jesus. And no judgment. We will have the confidence that we can stand before our Lord Jesus on the day of judgment. Now, we come to the last point. How to live a Christian living in relationship with God. First, sub-point number one, actively waiting for the returning of our Lord. You see, every first Sunday of the month, we partake Lord's Supper. We are supposed to remembrance of our Lord. And another thing, actively waiting for the returning of our Lord. That is a point Paul is telling us. Wake up, not much time left to slumber around. Our salvation is nearer now. It's nearer than when we first believe. Paul is talking about our ultimate salvation, the day Christ returns to judge the world, and we will stand before his presence. And Paul uses that as an incentive for us to wake up. And he's also alert us to wake up, to get moving, and to get growing in the likeness of Christ. There's not much time left. Don't let ourselves grow cold and become lazy toward God because so much time has passed by. But always be alert that salvation is nearer to us than when we first believe. Therefore, we can actively live as a sacrifice life that are pleasing to God, because we know the time and we are aware of what is coming. Have you imagined the day when we stand before our Savior and answer to Him for the quality of our Christian living? Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? This can be any moment. Are you ready to meet Him? Many of our beloved Charis members, our older saints, will tell us, "Pastor, this is my last lap. This is my last lap. I'm waiting to return home to our Lord." I praise God if you are still in your last lap and you are racing. You see, last lap is not sitting there and waiting. Last lap is actually there to run, to race. You see, our poor last lap, going to Rome to die for Christ. Peter's last lap, hang upside down. Our Lord Jesus' last lap, going up to the cross. So what is your last lap? Brother and sister, time is running out. Wake up. Wake up. Second, put on the armor of light. You know, how it is when you first wake up in the morning? It is still dark outside, and you sense that day is about to dawn and it is time to get up. You can do one of the two things. You can begin to think of the responsibility of the day, pry your eyes open, plant your feet on the floor and get moving, spend your time to do devotion, read the Word of God, pray to God, or you can roll over and go back to sleep. Which one is easier? For most people, it is easier to go back to sleep, right? The day promises work. Sometimes there is problem and struggle and maybe even conflict and pain. We don't want to wake up. But if we keep going back to sleep, life is going to pass us by. Sleep is used in the scripture as a metaphor for a spiritual life of carelessness and laziness. Or to be so complacent, you know. One of the ways the devil tries to hurt us is to make us either too busy for God or too comfortable that we can become complacent. God, we slowly drift off from God. That is how they boil the turtle, you know. They put the turtle in the simmer water and slowly boil them, and the turtle not aware of it. Eventually, the turtle cook and die. So devil try to do that to us, make you so complacent in where you are. And slowly, he turn up the heat. And eventually, your spiritual life will die with it. That's why Paul is telling us here, do not be sleeping. Wake up. Do not go through life in motion with spiritual laziness. Too many Christians are sleeping rather than being awake and prepared. Too many Christians are not living their lives as if today is their last day. Too many Christians is bragging about their past, what they have done, boast about what the things, the glory that they have done, how they have served God. Too many are not living for Christ to return at this very moment. Dear brother, are you living actively waiting for our Lord Jesus returning? Where are you now in your walk with God? If you have been sleeping for a while now, it is time to wake up and cast off the darkness. Put on the armor of life. Paul is telling us, we must live our lives consciously that we are in a spiritual war. We are in a battle that there isn't much time left from the coming of judgment. This is a call to Christians to be constantly vigilant for the rest of their Christian life. It is about the establishment of God's purpose in this world, and it is about our spiritual walk with God. Every day, we need to live vigilant for God, for His purpose, according to His will, and also always examine ourselves. Are we abiding in Him? Are we live for God? Third point, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Haven't we already put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul wrote in Galatians, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." You see, we have done it. So why are we told to do it here? Have you not already put on Christ? I think the apostle is saying to us here, put on Jesus Christ when you get up in the morning. Make Him a part of your life that day. Intend that He will go with you everywhere you go, and that He act through you in everything you do. Call upon His resources. Live your life in Christ. You see, a lot of time, when we say the Holy Spirit of God is with us, is in us, but the problem is, do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit of God? Do you yield to the Holy Spirit of God? Do you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit of God? Christ is in us, but do we put on Him every day? Do we have the fellowship with Him? Do we ask for His advice in every decision that we make in life? Or we only come to Him when we are in trouble, when we face challenges, when we face trial. Paul said, no, put on Christ. That is how you battle your everyday spiritual walk. A lot of us, we feel frustrated, we struggle in sin. But do you put on Christ? Don't fight with your own strength. Paul is giving us a very important tip here. Put on Christ every day in your life, starting from the early morning. When you put on Christ, seek his advice, what to do. When you make a decision, ask Him. When you're about to fall into temptation, knowing that He is with you, if you go much into that temptation, He is with you. Flee from the temptation. You see, we need to apply Christ into our daily living. We need to remind ourselves daily and do it all over again the next day. That is what it means to put on Christ. And the same thing as in John 15, when it said to us, abide in Him. Allow Him to be part of everything in our life. That is our ultimate defense against Satan. So at the last part, you see, do not think about how to gratify the desire of the flesh. In other words, don't feed the value of the world into your mind every day. And then plan and strategize how you are going to satisfy the sinful craving in your human nature that are prompted by the thought and the value of the world from the temptation. You know, most of us don't just fall into deep sin all of a sudden. We heard of many leaders, Christian leaders, fall into sin. It doesn't happen overnight. There has been a pattern of that lead us to that sin. The downward spiral begins when we start opening our mind to the temptation and entertain it. Then it continues as we let those thoughts linger in our mind and allow ourselves to fantasize about them. And eventually we begin to plan how we are going to act out of our fantasy. And that's how we fall into the temptation. So that's why Paul said, instead of that, every morning you wake up, you put on Christ. You resist the temptation. You know that Christ is with you. You see, give no forethought to the flesh and how to fulfill its desire. Instead, wake up to your ultimate defense. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Get to know Him more intimately and be conscious of His presence with you throughout the day. Fill your mind with His Word. Spend time with Him in prayer. Depend consciously on the power of His indwelling Holy Spirit in us. Have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Put Him on in the morning when you wake up, just like you put on your clothes. Let that be the most important thing you do when you get out of bed every morning. Put on Lord Jesus Christ and watch the tide of the battle, of your spiritual battle, turn to victory instead of struggle. Amen. Let us make this challenge to all of us this morning. Get up every day in the morning. You're not brushing your teeth yet. You're not washing your face yet. You're not going to shower. Don't pick up your phone and turn on your phone. Don't look at your phone. Kneel on your bed and pray and seek God's face and give thanks. You are breathing this morning. You wake up this morning and ask of Him, give thanks to Him, have fellowship with Him. Tell God, Lord, I'm about to start my day. Lead me to the path that You want me to go. Bring forth the people You want me to serve. Help me in my temptation. Deliver me from the evil one. Start your day with Him. And you'll see what's going to happen in your life. Now, brother and sister, maybe some of you here this morning are sick of sin, really sick of sin. You struggle so much. Or you are in bondage that you need more and more and leave you less and less satisfied but full of pain. I know how it's like when you struggle with sin. It is painful. It is painful because you want to please God, yet your flesh continue want to sin against God. Maybe some of you have been sleeping, live your Christian life in motion without having the freshness of God every day. Maybe some of you find it hard to love others, to love like how Jesus loved you. This morning, will you acknowledge your sinfulness and your need for Jesus to help you? And ask Him to renew your fellowship with Him. Open your heart to His Holy Spirit, and He will fill you with Himself and give you a new joy and a new purpose. Let us bow together in His presence and pray. Heavenly Father, You know who are those this morning struggle with sin. You know who are those this morning has been sleeping. You know who are those live their Christian life in the motion without the freshness of You every day, Lord. And You know who are those struggle to love others, struggle to obey Your command. And You know who are those even struggle in their own family, their relationship with their spouses, with their children. How to love others outside of our own family when we can't even love the one that is closest to us. Father, I ask, O Lord, this morning, You will move their heart. They will come before you and acknowledge their sin. Acknowledge that they cannot do it. They need your help. They want you to be in their life. Father, I ask your Holy Spirit will fill each one of us here. Yes, your Holy Spirit is with us already, but we are not with you. This morning, let us yield ourselves. Help us to yield ourselves to your Holy Spirit. Help us to open our heart to have your Holy Spirit to occupy every corner of our life, everything in our life, not just portion of it. Let us to be able to live the Christian life that is pleasing to you. Help us to overcome sin and struggle. Help us to find joy again, O Lord, in you, like we first knew you. Help us to love you again, like how we loved you before. Help us to love others and care for others as you have commanded us. Lord, we submit all of us into your hand this morning. Oh Lord, we are not just here to play Christian. We are not just here to come Sunday after Sunday. We are not just here to listen of your sermon and forget about it. It is not about that. We are not here to show attendance. Lord, be so real to each one of us. Each one of us here will experience you. We're completely filled with your joy and your love and your peace and zeal for you and love you and live the life that is pleasing to you as you have intended for us to live and you have commanded us to live, O Lord. Let us test and approve of your will and truly enjoy this Christian living according to your command, and the joy is ultimately from you, O Lord. Lord, we surrender my brother and sister this morning to you. Help us to walk so close with you and is so real to every one of us, O Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I ask and pray. Amen.